Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Cody Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Carroll, CBS News, WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Anderson on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC Spin.
Now, here is Hey Kaiser.
Hi-yo. Well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard.
And Jim Reed.
And Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam. And greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the nocturne, we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dale here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Riley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
We're back on WPTF at 10:09. Wow, we're just running through things here pretty quickly. And we got 919-860-9783. 919-860-WPTF. Okay, David. Uh-huh. David is with us from the gorgeous native plant habitat of the world, as far as I'm concerned, the North Carolina Botanical Gardens. David, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Yeah, my wife and I just love the botanical gardens. Her family has lots of ties. The Reeves family has lots of ties to that, with the herb garden, and there's a building there and all kinds of stuff. So we love it and have become a little more active in it, and it's a fun place to visit any time of year. I bet today, I know last weekend we were in Chapel Hill and it looked packed.
It's gorgeous here this morning. Yeah, I've been on site for a couple of hours now, just getting another program set up. And yeah, we've got a lot of visitors on site today. It's shaping up to be a beautiful day. Our spring ephemerals are popping up in the mountain habitat. I heard some recommendations earlier this morning to get out to Medoc Mountain State Park. If you don't want to travel out that far, closer to home here in Chapel Hill, we've got those spring ephemerals popping up here too.
That's right.
Certainly encourage anyone out there to come visit. We're open Tuesday through Sunday, 9 to 5.
You have in native plants. That's the way to go. That it's the reliable way to go for plantings in North Carolina. And you have displays for all of the regions, and it's all there. It's kid friendly.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, y'all have fabulous camps there during the summer.
We certainly do, and even throughout the school year, whenever there's teacher work days here in Durham and Orange counties, we offer schools out camps for kids that were there. They're not bothering their parents who are still working from home. Lots of kids programs throughout the year.
What's going on right now, and kind of give us an insight into the botanical gardens and its activities.
We're in the midst of a four-month mini-series called Bird-Friendly Landscapes. We've partnered with the New Hope Bird Alliance to put on these programs. That's a series of lectures, some field trips. Actually, the program we have this morning is Intro to Birds and Birding. So they're in a two-hour lecture today, and then the next three weekends, they're going to go out in small groups with an experienced birder, Tom Driscoll of New Hope Bird Alliance. They're going to go learn how to identify birds out in the wild, which sounds like a weird activity, but honestly,
no, it's not.
It's not a weird activity, but
it's challenging. But
certainly, but it's one of the most relaxing and exciting things you can do. So, really enjoy these programs that we're offering right now. But that's all in addition to our regular slate of programming around native plants. We do art programs for the creative-minded folk in the area. We also offer a lot of online programs, so anyone that's not here in the Triangle or doesn't have the ability to make it out to our site in Chapel Hill, we offer plenty of online resources, online classes and lectures, so something for everyone.
Well, David, I'm looking forward to the growth of some of the plants I bought last fall,
mm-hmm.
and the tall ones. St. John's wort. what is? I've heard often that is a plant that's good for mental illness. I think I need some of that.
St. John's wort.
Yeah. I think we all could use a little bit of that.
Yeah. All plants.
Is that a native plant, or did that come from China?
I honestly don't know. I'm not much of the plant expert around here. I'm more on the programming side of things.
There are some native hypericums. I don't know if they're all native, but there are some natives. We have them growing on our property.
Okay, and beautiful bloom, the one I've got.
Yeah, nice little delicate yellow bloom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
David is a program and engagement coordinator.
That's correct.
So if you're thinking about getting engaged, David is apparently the person you see in Chapel.
Funny you say that. That's actually how I got my start in the garden. I was a facilities coordinator, so I was actually selling our auditorium to couples that recently got engaged for a wedding.
Oh, what a wonderful place to get married.
Yeah. It certainly is. I can point folks in the right direction of who to contact for that. It's no longer me. I'm doing more of our community engagement and outreach.
Right.
Well, David, did you ever hear the story about when I was Attorney General, one of the founders of the garden, Dr. Help me here, a very famous name.
Is it Richie Bell?
Yes, Dr. Richie Bell called me, and he said, "Rufus, I got a problem. I want to grow some pot."
Oh, my God.
I said, "Well, you're talking to the guy who's in charge of getting rid of pot." and he said, "We, of course, for research purposes." I said, "Well, if you put a 10-foot fence around it to keep the students out of it, I will protect you." So, Dr. Richard Bell, with the permission of the Attorney General, grew some fabulous pot.
There may still be some over there. Right?
I have not seen that collection here.
Well, if you do, don't tell the students about it.
What a staff.
10 feet might not be a tall enough fence.
Wonderful.
Another topic, what's to see there in the winter? You know, you talk about, when we talk about J.C. Rawson Arboretum, always something in bloom. 365 mm-hmm. days a year, you can see something blooming there.
Yeah.
But we want folks to have things that are supporting pollinators and birds through the season. What's it like there in the winter?
Worth a visit? It's 50 shades of brown around here, admittedly. Okay. But we try to educate folks saying that we leave these stems to overwinter because there are insects in there. There's insects hibernating, if you will, waiting to hatch out once we get these warmer spring temperatures. So if you clear cut your garden too soon, you're losing all of next year's pollinators. You're not going to have as many.
Blue. Of course, you got all the artwork that is fabulous.
Absolutely. Inside, we've got heat. So come on inside and check out our exhibits. Right now, they are around that Bird Friendly Landscapes program that we have happening right now. Actually, on Wednesday, we just installed a new watercolor exhibit. There's some fabulous prints. In the gallery.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, winter is coming to a close around here, so we're starting to see some green, and certainly the nature trails behind the garden. The birch trees have just been putting on this wonderful show of their golden leaves just holding on through the winter.
Nice place to get some exercise.
Absolutely.
So when is you have spring plant sale, I believe.
We do have spring plant sale. That's coming up on Saturday, May 3rd. We are doing it's registration for the first couple of hours, just because this is a very popular event, so we want to be able to ensure that our visitors have a safe entry to the garden. So information is forthcoming about when registration will open. I think we'll do, I believe it's two time slots, 9 o'clock to 10:30 and 10:30 to noon. And then at noon, we will open up to anybody, no registration required. And you can buy out the rest of the plants that will be available.
And David mentioned safe getting into the botanical gardens because people rush to get their favorite plant.
I understand the enthusiasm.
Yeah. But you don't want stampedes.
Absolutely not. Well, want our crowd to be able to get home safely and put some plants in the ground.
Well, what I'm going to do, when I leave the show here at 11 o'clock on
We'll be in Fuquay Varina.
On May the 3rd.
You can figure out how to.
I'm going to give myself 45 minutes to get there.
Wow.
And if I get there at 15 to 12, you think I can get in?
I think you'll have a good chance.
Flash your old Attorney General's badge.
Yeah, my old. Yeah.
Someone will let you in.
If Dan Stern's there, or Keith, or somebody, I'm sure they will. Or
Dan Stern is leading the charge, planning this event. He's actually, I think he's on vacation that weekend. So, His co-head in charge, Heather Summer, will be holding the reins this year.
Very good. Well, David, it's fun, and you folks need to call us more often and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, certainly. Well, hey, the reason I called in, I know you talked with Carter Q earlier this morning from
Durham
Library.
We had such fun there.
Yeah, so he and I are on the planning committee for an event we have upcoming later this month. I know you've been running some ads about that.
Yeah, please go into that from your perspective.
Absolutely, yeah. We've been planning this for almost a year now, since the last iteration. We host the first annual African-American Legacy in Gardening and Horticulture Symposium at the Hayti Heritage Center in Durham. This is the second year that we're hosting it. It's a free event and sadly it will pull people from your weekend gardener audience, but it's going to be on Saturday, March 29th from 9:30 to 3:30. It features three panel sessions and really an all-star lineup of moderators and panelists, from Grammy Award-winning singers to social media superstars, local professors, esteemed professors at local universities. And they're going to be chatting all things history and the folks that really had an important influence on gardening in this area. The first session is the wisdom of trees, urban forestry, and black land ownership in the subaltern South. The second session is called Beyond Borders, the ethnobotanical and horticulture influence of Africans, African Americans, and immigrants on the American landscape. Then we'll break for lunch, and lunch is included for all registrants. I'll share some registration details in just a minute here. And then our closing session will be centering African-American narrative stories in contemporary environmental literature and media. And that will be followed by a closing panel and some networking events, as well as a seed exchange. So if you have seeds that you'd like to have available to swap and take some home, too, we're going to have a wonderful networking event to close out the day.
Fabulous. Well, we look forward to our next visit to the Botanical Gardens, and it's not far from the Dean Dome, folks.
That's so correct. Yeah.
Well, what if I bring about a bushel basket full of hellebore seeds?
I don't think they need anything like that. Yeah.
This will be for anyone to take back to their homes, the seed swap at this event. Again, that's at the Hayti Heritage Center on Saturday, March 29th. More details about that event can be found online. We've got go.unc.edu/legacy25 as the website for that event. And if you keep listening to this program, I'm sure you'll hear more ads for it, too.
Very good. David, thank you so much.
And hey,
our best to Stephen Keith and Dan Stern and all the nice folks there at the Botanical Gardens.
I will give my regards to him, and I think you'll get your invitation to the Moonlight Gala soon.
All right. Thank
all right,
you.
Take care, y'all.
Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, it is a fun place, and we did drive by there last week, but I mean, there was a lot of activity going on there. 919-860-9783. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. It's 10:24. Tomorrow it'll be 11:24 because of daylight saving time. Dadgummit. And I don't like that. But see here. Imus Garden folks are busy all year round, but especially in the spring and summer. You know, like so many of us, when the weather starts warming up, and wow, we're going to make it to 80 maybe a couple of days next week. Imus Garden is always excited to see plants emerging from the ground and buds just beginning to flower. We were just looking at some of Phil's camellias, but no one wants to see unsightly damage from moles and voles, that's for sure. Moles can turn your lawn into an obstacle course with their unsightly mounds and raised tunnels. Voles kill plants by gnawing on the bark of trees and shrubs and eating the roots of plants. So say goodbye to those annoying offers with little critters and... Oh, Imus Garden Mole and Vole Repellent comes to the rescue. In a bright orange bag, Imus Garden Mole and Vole Repellent is made from natural ingredients blended with botanical oils. Smell good, too. Safe, eco-friendly, and it's a unique blend of natural ingredients that coats the food source of moles and voles, chasing them away with the treated areas, of course. It contains no harsh chemicals. It's just pure, effective protection. Imus Garden Repellents are available at local garden centers, like Campbell Road Nursery, of course, and Homewood Nursery, all the town and country hardware stores throughout the Triangle. So protect your garden today with Imus Garden Repellents. People, pet, and eco-friendly. Imus Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. And Mike is on the line, and you're interested in butterflies, huh?
Sure enough, am. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to you, and you said something about a plant that would really draw in the butterflies, and I need to know what that was.
There, I think mostly in the spring and summer, are you going to find these? What, Paul, you were mentioning a list, and... I actually did an article.
You can't go wrong with milkweeds.
Yeah.
Particularly for the monarchs. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them.
Parsley.
Dill.
Yeah. Fennel. And fennel's great.
And these are, parsley, for instance, is for the caterpillars that become...
Right. And the fennel too.
So you don't want to forget about creating butterflies and
making
a habitat for the caterpillars. And you need to be careful when you see caterpillars in the garden. They may be butterflies to be. and you don't want to destroy those.
Now, of course, a lot of people are going to think of Buddleia, which is the butterfly bush. Yeah. And, of course, that does a great job. It's not a native, and I'm not a native purist by
and
any
some,
stretch.
You know, some yeah, of the old varieties, the big varieties, were considered, and in North Carolina,
yeah, they grow in the road ditches.
Pests.
But yeah.
I've never had that. You know, they propagate kind of like Rufus's hellebores.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are the smaller varieties that Dr. Ralston created are not that way. They don't seed out as much.
Right.
So, yeah, butterfly bush is a good way to go. And they smell good, kind of have a honey fragrance on the flowers.
And I mentioned the Mexican sunflower.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mexican sunflower.
Is there a... The big problem I have with Mexican sunflowers, and I won't call it a problem, they get so tall, and they're shallow-rooted, they'll fall over, mm-hmm. still keep blooming. But is there a dwarfer size of a Mexican that'll grow up 3 or 4 feet, not
There is one, but it doesn't reseed.
Okay.
So
it seems like it's something y'all talked about a couple of weeks ago and said this really draws them in, and I'm trying to create a little garden in the backyard. My wife loved those, and she's been gone for about a year, and I want to make a little garden out there.
Oh, great.
Well, I'll tell you the one of the simplest things, and it's the black swallowtail that gets on the fennel. We actually probably hatched out 20-some butterflies because I take them off of the fennel and feed them in a container with the air vents and that sort of thing. You can get them at the local pet stores. And because if you don't, there's a wasp that will come in and sting those caterpillars and kill them.
Okay.
Mike, I want you to, we're gonna talk more with you. And you called the newsroom the other day. You know, I apologize for not calling you back. I got a message, and I was going to call you because you left your number. I was going to get Joel to call you this morning. So I'm so glad you called, but I do apologize. You hold on, and we're gonna take a look at CBS News and then our local newscast, and we'll be back and talk more about this. I do have a list. Because I read an article about, I don't know if it's in this spring issue or not, about pollinating and biodiversity. But I do have a list of some plants. I did find that. We'll be back here on WPTF. All right, we're back on WPTF at 10:36. Again, it'll be 11:36 tomorrow at this time. Because daylight saving time starts, so before you go to bed, reset your clocks or whatever you have to do. Thankfully, a lot of the automobiles, SUVs and things now set themselves, so they pick up the signals and the way cell phones do. And technology is amazing. To me,
my 2005 pickup truck does not do that.
So you'll have to do her manually. Aren't you?
Yeah,
does not do that.
I avoid as little of that technology on a car as I can.
Do you have a clock?
And I've never had my vehicle go down on me. I got a clock. I've got to punch it in.
All right.
I move the seat by myself. Now the one thing I don't want to put up without is a backup mirror. Got to have that now.
Backup camera.
I
did put a backup camera in my 2000.
My neck is too stiff now.
One of the great inventions. Truly, all the safety equipment.
It's really
now,
a necessity.
It's extraordinary. It really is. Phil, what are you writing down there?
I was writing this lady's name and number for you.
Oh, yeah. I need to take her a magazine. The lady did the display at our 40th anniversary party out at Campbell Road Nursery, and we had a lot of people come out, and we had a lot of gardeners from the show, and we had a wonderful time. That was a special, special day, and Paul, I hope you had a good time.
Oh, it was fabulous.
The food was great.
So honored.
The food was just excellent. It was like being at a Carolina Country Club or something.
Yeah. It was right on. Yeah. I love that.
Well,
I
get your Weekend Gardener to find a wonderful article on Mike's 440th.
Get the new magazine. Yeah, I wrote about they didn't give me much time. They gave me about a week. I had to write something about, because they weren't included in the spring, about the my 50 years here, because my 50th anniversary is coming up next month at WPTF. So, Mike, we need to get back to Mike here.
Yes.
And the list that I have is pretty extensive. Something I like is Joe Pyeweed. I mentioned it earlier
Joe
in the show.
Joe Pyeweed's great.
Joe Pyeweed, and you'll see that later in the summer, for instance. Of course, sunflowers.
Well, Mike, were you looking for a shrub or a
flowers? He just wanted a little butterfly garden for memory of his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever attracts a butterfly.
Yeah.
How much space do you have?
Well, I'm planning on just doing a very small something in the back corner of the yard, so it's not
10, 15 feet, something like that.
Yeah, that works.
So the cardinal flower and butterfly weed, milkweed, the cone flowers.
Mm-hmm. The verbena. The tall verbena.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The Joe Pye weed.
Yeah. And, you know, there are a lot of shrubs. The hollies attract butterflies when they bloom.
Okay.
And, I don't know, wax myrtle and Carolina allspice.
Yeah, a lot of those would be good larval support plants.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And my old phlox.
For the caterpillars.
Tall phlox. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They like that.
Mm-hmm. Does that give you a little bit of an idea?
I believe so. I got a whole page full of stuff here.
Yeah.
just something you mentioned. It's been about 2 weeks ago, and I just remember that somebody was saying that it just drew a lot of butterflies. I don't remember what it was.
It was probably the butterfly bush, the buddleii.
Okay.
That's the most obvious one.
Yeah.
And butterfly weed, but butterfly bush is a lot larger. And there are some large varieties, but if you want a smaller one, and I think if you're planting a small garden, to go to Campbell Road and check, because Lane, who works for Phil, helped develop some of those smaller varieties of butterfly bush, and with Dr.
Warner.
I was thinking of Dr. Ralston, Dr. Warner, and several of them. So.
Mike. Where do you live? How far away do you live?
I'm in North Durham.
North Durham? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you get a chance, probably a good time to come down this way would be probably around the 1st of May, because a lot of the butterfly weed has to have warmer weather to get going. And so probably around the 1st of May, we should have the buddleia, and we'll have just about any type of plant you could want for butterflies.
When are we doing our remote there for
the
Mother's
10th.
Day? The 10th. That's when you ought to come, Mike, is the 10th. And we'll be doing the show there, and we'll shake your hand.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, we get some personal service.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Like to thank all of you. Appreciate it a lot.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate you taking the time to call. And, again, I apologize for not calling you back.
No problem. Y'all have a great
day.
Yes,
sir. Bye.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. We'll take a break and then go to Warren. And I see Carolina Reaper up there, Rufus. I don't know. So we're going to hot times in the old town tonight.
Carolina Reaper.
More of the Weekend Gardener coming up.
I got Tabasco pepper plugs for you.
All right. We're back on WPTF. Yeah. I'm not sure if that... biodiversity. I can't remember if it's in the. I can't remember what they use. I haven't looked through the whole magazine. But our newest magazine, Spring Magazine, is out, and
it's fabulous. I mean,
it's
chock full of good articles.
Our general manager not only knows radio, but she knows magazines. And
well,
it's just,
you know, but you've cultivated all the contributors.
Well,
and there are some really
cultivation
fine,
is probably a good term.
There are some really fine contributors in this. Yeah, and
good it, people.
This would stand up against
including Paul McKenzie.
Well, including Paul, yeah.
Yeah,
thank you for all of the articles that you've done for us over the years.
It's a privilege to be included, but this would stand up against any magazine that you'd go and spend $10 for at a bookstore.
Yeah,
and it's free.
That's right. It is. You're right, Joel. It is.
The quality's awesome.
It is fabulous quality.
Nice pictures.
Yeah, except for the two old men on the front cover. It's very colorful and pretty. What do you think of it, Rufus?
Well, I think that Phil provided us a great backdrop with your 40th.
And who was
now,
it?
Now, the guy on the left, as you're facing it, he does look like an old guy.
No, he doesn't.
All bent over.
Stand up straight. Rufus, stand up straight.
That's what my wife says. Stand up straight.
Yeah.
Sit up straight. Yeah, that's what Miss Bass used to tell us in the second grade. Sit up straight.
Yeah.
With that slouching.
Yeah. And there's a reason for that, because when you get our age or even younger, you know, your spine is compressing. And if you don't sit up straight and stretch, then you'll end up with pinched nerves in your right. back and so forth. So. Joel is standing up. Stand up. Yeah. Stretch a little bit, yeah. Joel. All right. So who's the lady who did the backdrop for that?
Her name is Sarah at Premier Party Props.
I'll tell you.
She's out of Fuquay.
She did. Sarah, you did a wonderful job.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she sent several different patterns, I guess, for me to choose from, and I sent one to Melissa, and we kind of said, "Hey, that looks really good."
Oh,
so yeah.
So Melissa was plotting behind my back as usual.
Working behind the scenes.
That's always a mess. A standard modus operandi for sweet Melissa.
Well, she's got a good eye.
Yeah,
you know, she picked you out.
It's very artsy.
She's got a good eye.
Well. She picked me out. She wished she hadn't, but she picked me. She picked me out.
Oh well.
The hunk.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good. It's nice to have somebody else's opinion about something. I appreciate that. In life, I mean, I do that about things at the nursery.
Yeah. Some people daily. Have more of an artsy
right.
eye, and you know that certainly. Certainly, or an eye for color. And they're just like Carolyn, I mean, most of the magazine covers are very colorful, at least time like spring and summer.
Right.
Are certainly very colorful. And that, I mean, it'll just knock you out. So we hope that you'll pick up a copy of this issue with Rufus. And yours truly on the front. It was taken at the 40th anniversary celebration at Campbell Road Nursery.
Do we have a caller waiting for
us? We do. Warren is with us. And Carolina Reaper, Warren?
Good morning, yes. So we were in England between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we ventured over to Blenheim for the Christmas shops. And Rufus, you know all about Blenheim?
I have sure heard of it.
Well, it's the birthplace of Churchill.
Yes, I have been to that house.
Oh, gracious.
He and his mother, his mother just happened to be there, and she was pregnant, obviously. And she,
exactly.
And Churchill was born there, but it is a beautiful castle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh goodness, yes. I've been there.
I've driven there on the left side of the road before.
Oh, gracious. Oh, I misunderstood what you said.
It's in the Midlands.
I have been there.
Yeah. You were probably honored there. So are they growing Carolina Reaper at Blenheim Palace?
Well, the thing was, in one of the Christmas shops, they had all these, anything you wanted to spend your money on.
Oh, yeah.
My wife wanted to spend her money on. And they had a little booth there with vinegar, pepper vinegars, and one of them was Carolina Reaper vinegar. And the sign read, "This will tattoo your tongue."
Wow.
It will.
Yeah. And she wanted to know if I wanted to buy some. And I said, no, I think I have a local distributor for that.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You do. We have our own experts.
Yeah, but I thought the tattoo your tongue was very appropriate.
That is.
Rufus, you need to remember that.
Oh, boy.
Because it really will. Warren, I brought some candy from Asheville Candy Shop, or whatever it's called, in downtown Asheville, a nice little candy store. And they have Carolina Reaper candy. It's wrapped in chocolate. And it has skull and crossbones, and I guess it's white chocolate on top of it, just to let you know, and with a little warning. And I distributed it among the panel one morning of the people who like hot peppers, and I thought we were going to have to call the emergency.
I almost hit the floor, Warren.
Yeah, EMS.
I'm like a shot hog. Oh, Lord.
So that's an interesting way to get the Carol. That will tattoo your tongue.
Yes, it will. All right, boys. Y'all have a great day, and I look forward to spring and getting out of here. Now, this is the favorite season for nursery people, because we have these plants that come down here, and they say, oh, the weather, it's spring, and they go out and buy all the stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
That's right.
Then next week it all dies, and they do it all over again.
That's right. It's like, I want my tomato plants because it's April 15th.
Yeah.
No.
I love it.
Yeah, man. Warren, take her easy now.
All right. See you boys later.
Bye. All right. Ken is with us. We're still on the butterfly theme. Ken?
Thanks for taking my call. I've heard several people asking for something that attracts butterflies.
Yeah.
And one of the plants I have not heard you guys mention this morning that is a terrific plant for drawing butterflies is Miss Huff Lantana.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sure,
that's a wonderful idea.
I have a small bed. It's about 5 feet long and about 2 feet wide. And I have four Miss Huff plants in it, so a cluster of them.
Yeah.
And during the summer and on into the early fall, they just cover that bed. There will be hundreds of them on that plant. Now, granted, it's out in the hot sun down on the coast, but it is a prolific plant for butterflies.
Very hardy.
I agree, very hardy plant.
I do not have to do anything with it but break it down about the 1st of April, and I put a little fertilizer on it, plant tone, and maybe some years I fill in the bed with some black cow.
Right.
And it goes crazy. And so I would highly recommend that. Low maintenance is just a wonderful plant.
Well, I have Lantana as well, right in front of the window, and we can see the butterflies like from the house, from inside the house, which is delightful. The one thing I will challenge everyone who plants Lantana is also add natives to your landscape, because Lantana is non-native, but Leah, great plant for attracting butterflies, non-native. Yeah, definitely plant them, but also plant the natives, because the nutrition that the butterflies and the larvae get from the native plants is denser, better for them. And then there's some species that have to depend solely on the natives. So do both things.
What would be a common name for the natives?
Well, the Lantana is I would call it a showy plant.
We all love that.
I'll tell you something else you just brought up, sorry, Rufus, is when you said Lantana, it reminded me, and this is not native, but it reminded me of my abelia that's about 6 to 8 feet tall in my front yard, and it stays full of butterflies all summer long.
Long blooming.
Bees like that, too.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I mix them with some Rebecca in my yard, too. Black-eyed Susan, the smaller.
Right.
Diversity is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But
Ken, you said down east. What were you from the ocean area?
No, I'm right off the Pamlico River on Blunt's Creek.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Well, all right then.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, and it's brackish, brackish water in the air. You just kind of start to see it. Be careful what you plant. But it does very well along with the coneflower does extremely well. And the bees and butterflies like that.
Right.
And then the flocks.
Okay.
Tall garden flocks.
Right.
So
fabulous, yeah. Ken.
Right. Okay, well, I just want to pass that along.
Please
to the
do, and then call us a little more often, Ken.
Yes. Okay, thank you. I just want to pass that to the gentleman doing a memorial garden.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much. Wonderful. Yeah, Lantana. Great ideas, Mike, for you. That's the Lantana gets pretty big, but, you know, it's usually happy. And most of these things like a lot of sun, you know, if you got full sun. Paul, thank you, buddy. I think you'll be back in April.
A pleasure.
End of April.
Thanks for having me.
Phil, we'll see you at the Farmer's Market at the end of this month. Brother Rufus, we'll see you next week.
That's a 10-4.
10-4. And Joel will be here next week. Thank you, Joel, for all your hard work, man.
All right.
Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. God love you. We'll see you later.